turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul begins his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, which is probably actually his third letter to this community, this church in Corinth. He begins with these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." You can be seated. And I'm going to be seated too. We'll see how this works. I don't expect to need this. What would you call this? Concession. Don't dock my pay because I'm not standing to preach. Don't expect to need it for long. I was talking to someone before service and they mentioned that Charles Stanley sits to preach these days because he's old enough, he just can't stand that long anymore. But he, I guess, has a more elaborate kind of thing that he preaches from. In any case, as you know, tomorrow will be 5 weeks since I had surgery to have both of my knees replaced. I had a partial replacement in the left knee and a full replacement in the right. Most of you are aware of that, and actually was blessed to be able to spend 4 nights in the hospital. I think I needed that. A lot of knee patients go home the day after, and I needed those extra nights, especially with 2 knees. So I've been out of the pulpit and to a large degree out of circulation for the past 4 weeks, and I want to say a special thank you to Pastor Jake and to Pastor Brian for holding the fort down while I've been away, and also to Doug Kuhn, who's been teaching Sunday school over the past, he's been teaching actually for I think 2 quarters, but the last month or so he's been going solo, so I want to give him thanks for that. And Dan Muller's been facilitating the Wednesday night services and class with our guest speakers, so just want to say thanks to all of those people for all their help. And also to you as the community of faith. We have received meals and cards and visits and phone calls and rides, and various of you have picked up the slack where Sharon and I haven't been able to be there. And it just is a tremendous blessing to us to be on the receiving end of your generosity and your love. But actually, it's a particular blessing to me to know that I haven't gotten any special treatment just because I'm your senior pastor. I have witnessed this congregation give the same love and care to many, many people through the years, from the least to the greatest. And that is what a community of faith does, right? We come alongside each other. We rejoice with each other. We weep with each other, we lift each other up when we are in need, and we walk alongside each other when we are struggling. And you are that to me, and you are a blessing to me because of the way that you do that. So I praise God for you. And I have to say, I can't go past the thank yous without thanking Sharon. I'm sorry for the rest of you, but I have the best nurse in the world, so hands down. And I have to say, it's been tremendously humbling, even after 31 years of marriage, to experience and see the delight that she takes in serving me. It's just been a tremendous blessing to me, and I praise God for her as well.
You too.
Amen. As those of you who've had any kind of major surgery are well aware, the recovery process is a journey that has its ups and its downs, right? I've walked on that journey with many of you through surgeries and recoveries, and there are good days and there are bad days that we experience. And this morning, which is my first official day back in the pulpit, so to speak, I thought that rather than preach a sermon, I'd like to share with you kind of more of a personal testimony of God's grace and His provision during this journey that I've been on these last 5 weeks. And so some of you have already noticed from your bulletin that I've entitled this sermon or this talk, lessons from knee surgery. So, I'm not the first person to have had knee replacement surgery. And many of you have had the same and other kinds of surgeries. I'm not even the first to have had both of my knees done at once. One of the physical therapists walked by the other day and noticed that I had scars on both knees and said, "You did two at once? What were you thinking?" And I said, "Well, my mom had both of hers done 22 years ago, and I can't let my mom show me up." And many of you have faced health concerns of far greater magnitude than this and undergone much more serious surgeries and far more difficult and painful recovery processes. As we have been reminded this morning, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we are well aware of the many veterans who have been wounded in action and have faced life-changing injuries, the loss of limbs, burns over significant portions of their bodies, and they carry, many of them, the physical and emotional scars of their service. And I'm well aware that this recovery that I have been experiencing is like small potatoes compared to many of the challenges that people face as it relates to that. But I also believe that every situation or circumstance that we find ourselves in is an opportunity to learn, right? Whether it's a big or small situation, it's an opportunity for us to grow in our relationship with the Lord, to understand better who He is, and to understand how He relates to us as people. And the lessons that I want to share with you that I guess I would say I have learned are not necessarily new ones. They're not new to me, and I don't expect that they will be particularly new and groundbreaking for you. But they are the kinds of things that no matter how far along we may get in our lives or in our spiritual walk, we should be learning over and over and over again and be reminded of over and over again. So I thought it'd be helpful to share some of those insights with all of you this morning. Is that okay? All right. If you said no, I don't know what we'd do from here. So. First lesson, I have a new appreciation for people who live with chronic pain. My pain is relatively minor, and it comes and goes at different times of the day. I find that about 7 o'clock at night till the time I go to bed is the worst time of day for me because all the activity of the day is kind of settling into my joints, and it's painful. But that pain has given me a better understanding and appreciation for those that suffer with chronic pain. People like Larry Ochoa and Cheryl DeCraney and Jackie Castine and many others that are here in our midst this morning. I remember visiting Tina Lo Piccolo in the hospital, well, I don't know, 4 years ago now, probably 5 years ago. And I'd try to get there every couple weeks. She was in the hospital in Ann Arbor, and whenever I came into her room, she was in the same position. She couldn't move. She was suffering and struggling, and that went on for month after month after month. And what kind of spiritual fortitude and patience does it take to endure that kind of pain day in and day out with no end in sight? And often, not just to endure it, but to rejoice in the Lord in the midst of it. And I have seen my brothers and sisters in this congregation facing pain and rejoicing in the Lord. And having had the opportunity to experience a little more pain recently than I had in the past, I have a new appreciation for that. And that is why I wanted to read that passage from 2 Corinthians, what Paul says there, because our own pain can be a window that enables us to better see and to better understand the pain that other people face. And that's what Paul meant, I think, when he talks about there in that passage that the comfort that we receive from God in our trials in turn enables us to give comfort to other people in the midst of their trials and the struggles that they face. And that passage, I know for me, I often quote that passage at funerals because people are grieving, right? And they're struggling through those difficult times and they're comforting words. But I think there's an important principle that is there in this passage as well, in these verses. And that is that through our experience with pain, we're able to understand what others are going through and offer them real hope and encouragement. And that God doesn't intend that any of our pain should be wasted. God doesn't intend that our pain should be wasted. Instead, He intends to use our pain to transform us into vessels of comfort and healing. So that's the principle, that God comforts us, and as He comforts us, He can transform us through our pain into vessels of comfort and healing to other people who are in pain. And that's true no matter what the source of our pain is. Whether it's physical pain, or some kind of abuse or injustice that we've suffered, or even the pain or regret and the grief of past sin or decisions that we have made that we wish we could undo. How many of you have those? Okay. God intends to use that pain so that the person who has lost everything because of addiction doesn't just suffer with that loss, but God can transform that person's life so that they can come alongside someone else who's lost everything because of addiction and show them that there is hope and there is life on the other side. So that the widowed spouse doesn't just suffer in their grief forever, but they can come alongside another person who has lost someone and show them the way through that grief. And that's what God intends to do with our pain. Too often we think of our pain as something just to be avoided, right? We want to get relief as soon as possible. And I can tell you, I've been glad I've had drugs. But we try to forget about it. We don't want people to talk about it. We don't want to be reminded of it because we want to put it over there. But the problem with that is if we never let God to use it to transform us, then we just end up living in our brokenness. God intends to use our pain for good, to give us eyes to see and to have compassion for the pain of others. And I think we will also find that as we learn to look beyond our own pain to the needs of others, we can discover that God's comfort and healing is there for ourselves. I think that's part of God's prescription for healing, don't you? Is to come alongside others that are hurting in the same way. And as we walk together, we discover His healing. So that's the first lesson. That principle from 1 Corinthians, I've developed a new appreciation for people that suffer with chronic pain. And I recognize that God has allowed me to experience some pain in order to open my eyes to what others struggle with. And that together then we can walk that road together. Second lesson. I've been reminded of the importance of maintaining an eternal perspective. The importance of maintaining an eternal perspective. When you're in pain, even for short periods of time, it can seem like time is standing still, can it? At the beginning, and I still am doing it, I'm icing my knees, I don't know, probably 42 times a day I did it at the beginning. Half an hour at a time. And the icing actually makes it feel better, those of you who know. But also for me, I found that there were times when that ice would just drive that cold right into my bones, and it would hurt while it was healing. And I can remember sitting there watching the clock, you know, and trying to distract myself until this half hour was over, but it would seem like that stupid minute hand wouldn't move at all as I was going through it. And that's the truth. That's just the way it is, that when we're in pain, it seems like eternity gets boiled down to now. Before my surgery, people told me that it was going to hurt for a while. But in the end, my knees would feel better than they ever had, and I would be really glad that I had done it. Did any of you get that kind of advice? We did. The fact is, though, that in between, there are some dark days. And it doesn't seem like you're making any progress. And you start to wonder if you'll ever feel good again. And you just want the pain to stop. And in those dark days, it's easy to question whether it was worth it. Because the pain of the moment overshadows the confidence that better days are coming. And that it will, in fact, all be worth it in the end. The pain of the moment often overshadows our hope, doesn't it? I found the same to be true as a follower of Jesus. When we face pain or any kind of adversity, we can really easily lose perspective of the bigger picture. We can lose sight of the hope that lies before us. That the troubles of this life, and this is our hope, right? The troubles of this life are not the last word. So when we go through those seasons of difficulty, it's essential that we not lose sight of eternity, that we not lose sight of the big picture. We have a tremendous hope as believers, and that hope can carry us through every trial that we face. Because we're confident that the same Jesus who cruelly suffered and died on a cross also rose again from the grave. And he is coming again as the conquering king to set right all that is wrong, to heal our wounds, and to mend the broken places. And even if we die in suffering, God has promised to raise us up to a new and indestructible life in a new heaven and a new earth where all is well. And the pain that seems to shout so loudly in the present will be a distant memory. So again, Paul says to the Corinthians, that same letter to the Corinthians, he says, these light and momentary sufferings are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore, he says, we do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary. Pain, right? Struggle, difficulty. The things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We were privileged, some of us, to spend some time with Larry Kestein last night, and he shared some of the real significant challenges that he and his family have been through over the past couple of years as China has turned the screws, tightened them back up with regard to religious freedom and is making things really, really difficult for missionaries in general, both in China and in Tibet. And as Linda shared a little bit about their struggles that they have had personally as a family, one of the things that really came through to me that Larry didn't say this specifically, but it was very clear. That eternal hope and perspective is what has sustained them through that time. Right? We have to hang on to that eternal perspective so easily. It's the first thing that goes. Right? I remember visiting Olga Bloom in the hospital, and many of you, if you haven't met Olga personally, you knew of her at least. And in the last couple of months of her life, her bone cancer had deteriorated her neck to the point that her neck could no longer hold her head up. And so the pressure of the weight of her head bore down on her spinal cord and caused her just excruciating pain. And I can remember time after time after time going to visit her. And by the time that I left, we were talking about glory. We were talking about the hope that we have in Christ. And we were talking about the day that is coming for all of us when all will be well. Because we have a sure and certain hope. And I would leave the hospital room. I might come discouraged and leave encouraged by a woman who was suffering great pain because her eyes were on her hope. Third lesson. There are four, by the way. So just to let you know. There's not 12. Aren't you glad? No pain, no gain. Physical therapy is not fun. They call it a therapy room, but actually it is a room that is filled with all kinds of instruments of torture. It amazes me how many gadgets the human mind is capable of producing to cause people pain. My therapist is always asking me, every time I go in, 3 times a week, he's asking me how difficult the workout is, because he knows that if it's not painful enough, he hasn't done his job. Because he knows that if he doesn't push me beyond what's comfortable, my muscles and my joints won't get stronger. And I won't be able to function at my full capacity, and in fact, the process of healing could actually get stalled or even go in reverse. So he bends my knees until it feels like my incisions are just going to burst open and all that stuff is just going to come out. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And he stretches my muscles until that scar tissue tears in order to make sure that it won't set in. He tears them, my muscles, where they're weak, so that new growth can take hold and bring new strength. The first few days after surgery, I couldn't even lift my leg off the bed without pain. And he made me do it anyway. Can you believe that? And strength has come through the pain. And I have to tell you, I'm amazed at how far I've come in 5 weeks. Yesterday, I was pulling weeds right along with everybody else at the workday. And it's because of the pain that has brought the gain. The healing that has come through that enforced pain. So James says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Spiritual growth hurts. We have to be stretched and pressed beyond what we think our limits are. God knows what our limits are. And just as my therapist has to stretch me beyond what I think my limits are, God has to stretch us beyond what we think our limits are. He tears at the weak places so that spiritual atrophy doesn't set in. And that tearing and stretching, as painful as it is, provides for new growth and new strength. Sometimes it can feel like he's torturing us. Doesn't it? Or am I the only one that gets that impression? But it's not his goal to hurt us. His goal is that we will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. His goal is that we will be made into the likeness of his Son. Amen? Number four, lesson number four. I've been reminded that it's by his stripes that I am healed. I now have 6-inch long scars on both of my knees, and they kind of look like Frankenstein's neck, you know? That line with all the spots on either side where the stitches were, these big staples that I had in my legs. And I will carry those scars for the rest of my life. They represent the wounding that was necessary in order for me to be healed. One of the doctors in the hospital, I think, said to me, he said, "You have been assaulted." Right? It's like being assaulted. Someone has taken a knife and gone, "Eah, eah, eah." You know, sorry, Bruce, I know you do it with much more precision and skill than that, but it feels like it, doesn't it? Yeah, you don't use that word. Good. But skin and muscle and bone all had to be cut in order for the necessary repairs to be made so that I could be whole again. And I will carry the scars for the rest of my life. I will carry the scars of the wounds that brought my healing. But there is another who also carries the scars of wounds that have brought healing. He too was assaulted. His hands and his feet were pierced. His side was cut open. And his life was taken away. But he wasn't wounded so that he could be healed. He was wounded so that I could be healed. And you could be healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Is that an amazing thing? He carries in his body, just like I carry now in my body, the scars of my brokenness and healing. He carries in his body the scars of our brokenness. When I get my new body in the resurrection, I'm pretty confident that I won't have these scars on my knees anymore. My scars are connected with my mortal body, and they will pass away with it. But what Scripture tells us is that in his resurrected body, Jesus bore the scars of the cross as an eternal declaration of his love and grace toward us. He surrendered his life so that I could have life. He was pierced so that I could be made whole. He was wounded so that you and I could be healed. What love is that? What love is that? So, four lessons from knee surgery. Praise to the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we in turn can comfort those in trouble. These light and momentary troubles are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all, so we don't lose heart. But we keep our eyes on what is unseen, because what is unseen is eternal. And praise God for the trials that we face, because without pain there's no gain. And He is using our trials to make us mature and complete so that we don't lack anything. Finally, may we ever be in awe of the One who was wounded so that we could be healed. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to You as Your people. And Lord, I pray that these things that You have impressed on my heart in these weeks of recovery and healing, I pray that these things will be an encouragement to Your people this morning. You are a gracious and faithful God. You don't waste anything. Not even our pain. Not even our suffering. You have made us whole by suffering Yourself. And You have given us an eternal hope. May we rest in that hope and take heart, for You have overcome the world. We give You praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.